This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Hey, welcome to some and welcome back to others. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Mikey, half of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, and this is my episode, My Indie Brotherly Love. Indie episodes are individual episodes that Randy and I record. It's a way for us to honor who we are as individuals and not just who we are as spouses. Episodes will drop every Thursday from one of us with our thoughts about a random topic. In My Indies, you can look forward to interviews, shout outs to some amazing men or fathers out there who are taking care of business, deeper insight into my thoughts about marriage, life, fatherhood, and more. Each of my indies have three parts. Part one is the main topic, stories or interviews. Part two is Head Nod, where I show some respect to someone who's been doing something great that I think deserves some recognition, or it'll be Q&A depending on questions that you all submit. And finally, part three is where I leave you with a little sum to wrap it up. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
All right, let's do it. Let's go.
Shorty don't need a filter. If she say she leaving with you, then she got you. If she want a mad blunt to marijuana, turn the car into a sauna. I've been hooked on your frame, no bowling, no. Give you three fingers, you my bowling ball. Said I talk a lot of shit, but trust me, I can back it. Strokes on that kitty, gotta nap it. Know that G-spot don't gotta map shit. Keep her screaming in the back, now she ad-libs. I came through as is. On my cool boy shit, big loaves, no croutons, bitch. Don't let that one lose you. Only don't get them if I choose to. She see me as something that she ain't used to, but I refuse to let this ruin my
chances. So, I did an episode called Daddy Issues, where I dove into the complex problems that I was working through when it comes to the lack of a relationship that I had with my father. In my father's absence, I had uncles, cousins, mentors, OGs step in, but I also had someone really special that I grew close to, and that is my big brother, Prince. Though we were raised 800 miles apart, he always treated me as if we grew up under the same roof, which I always appreciated. So I invited him here today to kind of dig into the psyche of one of my favorite Virgos, badger my big bro, big up a black dad, and shout out one of my favorite artists all in one sitting. So, with all that being said, sir, introduce yourself.
I don't know how to follow that up. You just did it so beautifully. Like, what do I say to that?
It's real basic. Give us a who, what, no, when, where.
All I'm going to do is hit him with, like, everything he just said amplified by being from Brooklyn. That's it. Like, I don't know what else to say. That was beautiful. Like, almost like, who's cutting onions in his bed? Like, who's cutting onions?
Yo, mind y'all, it's like 5 p.m, so I don't know if he started drinking. I did.
No, I actually haven't. That's the funny part. I'm just drinking some sweet tea. That's it.
Oh, yeah. You have like a healthy daytime routine versus your nighttime routine.
Yes, I'm Batman. I mean, that man that does that.
Got you.
can't let people know. And
I'm really happy to have you on the pod. You are actually my first interview, so you're the first person I'm actually going to be sitting and asking questions. I kind of did like a small version with Randy on a previous episode, but you are the first person who I'm having like a main session with.
Well, look at me lighting the candle.
It's gonna I appreciate
be a
it.
Bar to follow for a lot of you other lames. I mean, people. I'm joking. Let me stop being that guy.
But, so we gonna get right into the questions, man. But before I do, just to kind of like warm up to the conversation, we start off most of our interviews with like a recollection, which we took from another podcast that we work with. And basically, I just want you to tell me about the last time that you felt truly happy.
This is interesting. Very interesting question. You can go with the generic answer, which is, you know, your father. And it's like, oh yeah, when I see my child for the first time, that's a go-to. You can go to, you know, first kiss with the first love, you know.
Okay. You can go to, where you are know, you going?
I don't know. I'm in the car right now. I'm driving. I'm trying to figure out what exit I want to get out at. We're going to go. Honestly, when I performed at SOBs. Mm. Last year, no, I'm lying. When I performed at the Delancey last year, yeah, that was the top of the year. That's what kicked everything off for me to just get my bag musically. So, like, I was just genuinely happy because of the people that turned out and just all the love and just the energy. Like, I had everybody there. People that I didn't even expect to come popped up and shocked the hell out of me. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And this was... I didn't have a performance or anything of that nature probably prior to that, probably like 3-4 months. So for people to pop out, not knowing what I was doing, not knowing what I was up to, I was like, oh, wow, you actually like me. That's cool. That's dope.
I remember when you promoted that one because it was a generic post like, y'all, I'm doing something here at this time. Pop up if you can. Support if you can. I remember that. Funny thing is we were actually planning a trip to New York around that time. So I was trying to like surprise you my damn self. I was like, I'm going to show up at one of his shows and make this nigga cry. It's like a goal in life.
I would have like, you would have gotten shouted out on the stage and all of that. Like,
I'll take it.
I don't know. I know you asked me, and I mean, you know, this is behind the scenes banter, but whatever. I know you asked me like, you know, do I get prepared for interviews prior to and stuff like that? And it's the same thing with my shows. I'll just have songs that I know that I like that I want to perform, and then I'll just feel it out throughout like the whole time leading up into my set. Like I can change a song in the middle of my set if I feel like away. So I never go in there prepared. It's just like I'm like me being unprepared and going with the flow is me being prepared.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like some artistic bullshit, but it's also like some genuine like nerd shit.
Yeah,
like, we do mad shit last minute.
Yeah,
like, you can wrap it up how you want to like wrap it up, but we perform under pressure or duress. If you duress is like
breaking it down like that. But I ain't gonna hold you. Like I'm seriously, I'll literally be thinking all week of like what songs am I gonna play for my set, and it just doesn't. I'm like, no, I just know what songs I want to bring, but then I'll just be like, nah, I gotta feel it out. Like I don't know.
Got you. So the last time you felt truly happy.
You know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
You know.
The last time you felt truly happy was that performance. What year was that?
That was 2019.
Okay, yeah, before the world ended. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no, it's funny that your first that the thing you recalled was something music related, because my first question for you is, you know, we have a lot of family who are musically talented and passionate about it. So what made you pursue a career in music?
Well, I can't avoid it no matter how much I try, to be really honest with you. Every profession I've been in, I've always been around somebody that makes music, knows someone that does this or is into showcases or whatever the case may be. So I'll always be around it like all the time. And then when they find out I make music, I actually seen somebody, put a post up the other day where they were just like, yo, people gonna start respecting me. Like, because so many artists are putting out music, when you come across someone that's just like mad chill and relaxed and cool to be around, like myself, and then it's just like, oh, you make music? And I'm just like, yeah. And then I'll play my music. They'll be like, no, look at me like, that's you? I'm just like, no, I just decided to say I make music and play this person's music directly in front of you. What's wrong with you? So when I seen that post, I just thought to myself, like, oh, okay, wow. So every time I'm in profession and people listen to it, they'll be like, oh, wow, you're really, really talented. Like, yes, what did you expect? Because I'm in this lovely job that means I have no ambition nor no talent. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I do to keep the bills going. But yeah, so that's fine.
It was just unavoidable. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I have always hated the sound of my own voice. So I never wanted to pursue music in that way because of that.
You know what's funny? I too do not like the sound of my own voice. I can talk to you. I will make music. I'll do all of that. I'll let everybody sing along. But even if we're out and, like, say someone plays this song while I'm in the car and they expect me to instantly get in King P mode and I'm just like,
I've done this before.
I'd rather just, like, go to the next song. Like, we don't got to bump this right now. It's not necessary. Like, I appreciate it. Do what I'm not around, I guess. I don't know. Like, yeah, so.
It's weird listening to yourself.
I've gotten used to it over the years, but I guess when I like other artists' voice, to be honest with you. Like, it's like instruments. So, like, there's mm-hmm. other artists where I'm just like, yo, your voice is all, like, anytime you jump on a track, like, I know it's going to be fire because your voice just sets that tone. You know what I'm saying? So it's with me, I'm just like, engineers will always tell me I have a recordable voice, and I never knew what that meant. And when I found out, I was like, oh, okay, so like I'm like a snare then. Like I go with everything. All right, that's fire. So
yeah, and cool. I guess I wasn't gifted with the rasp at the end of the sounds that we make.
You'd be running through it on these podcasts and be sounding real fluent and just be.
That's because I was forced to do it by my wife. Again, because I wouldn't have done this
under pressure.
If she didn't propose
under
it.
Pressure.
Yeah,
you shine under pressure. Basically, see how that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a trait. That's
all
a
right.
Trait.
So the general, just general love for it, and
oh, yeah.
not being able to avoid it. That's why you decided to pursue your career in music.
Yeah, it's just like it's like therapy for me. It's definitely therapy. It's therapeutic, and it's super. Just like at this point, I'm just more so making music for me. However I feel and. If people take to it, they take to it. And I like that.
So this conversation is going to center a lot around like parenthood and music because you are an artist, one. I love music, two. And we're both parents, three. My daughter is a year and a half old. And I've noticed that the reaction she gets to music is one of like the happiest things to me. Like it's one of the greatest things I see because this child will stomp in circles. She will keep spinning forever. Based off of like a certain beat, like certain, some things just hit her. And like, I see that she has that like appreciation for it. Maybe it's something with all kids. I don't know. I've never raised all kids, but
he said, I never raised all kids.
Yeah, man. And watching her react to certain things, man, I love it. We're Guyanese. So we came up listening to like just certain shit. Like it just like, it's Barry it's kind of Sanchez, a rite of passage. Luciano, yes. For Barris to be a part of your life.
Beyond.
I was playing Music is Life the other day. And, like, normally, you know, she does little kid shit. Like, she'll spin around. She'll, like, wave her hands. But, like, she was bobbing her head to the beat. It was different. She was, like, nodding.
Oh, like,
she felt it for... Yes. And I about cried. I was like, all right, this is different, man. So I'm thinking about, like, taking lessons. Like, I want to learn how to play the piano and then the guitar because I want her to kind of learn it and pick up on it. Just if it's something that she might be interested in, not to like point her in the direction of like music, but because I think it's something that she enjoys. It's something that I would like to do with her.
Mm-hmm,
And I don't know. I don't think it's too late to learn
a
skill.
At all. Like Nikki, my son's mom, like my lady, a pain in my neck right now. Cause I feel like she's looking at me. I just feel it. She is, right? She definitely is. But, she started trying to reteach herself the keys, and it actually inspired our son to start jumping on the keyboard and doing it.
Hey.
And he's actually extremely fast at
learning. Of course he is.
And I'm just like, holy crap. Like, he was playing All of Me by John Legend. And, you know, I was just like, you know, Nikki, she sings. So I'm just like, yo, sing. Like, sing with him. Like, I think it's so fire. And I have a video, and I was watching it, and, you know, I was just like, oh, my God, this is so dope. Look at this. So for moments like that you have, like, when you catch yourself in those moments, like, let it be. just like, shoot, if you feel that way, it's like, yo, yeah, man, this is etched. Because for that heightened emotion, it's always going to be etched in your mind forever. Like, it doesn't even matter if you come down with dementia, God forbid. Like, you'll still remember that. You'll be like, yo, but this memory right here, I remember.
Dementia don't run in our family. Just poor eyesight.
Right. You know, I just have to throw it out there, but I also have to say, God forbid, you know, in this day and age, nobody knows what's what, you know?
That's true.
Like, I might be related to, like, a Martian. I feel like I am sometimes, but, you know.
You're weird.
Pot calling kettle. Oh, my God.
Describe your relationship with your father, and how has that impacted the way that you raise your son?
I would describe it as it's respect on a man level, it's just respect on a man level. Like, I'll talk to my dad, our dad, our father.
Oh yeah. For anybody listening, me and this guy share a father. I guess I should have started with that.
I feel like the brother introduction should have prompted people to understand that it's deeper than rap. But, you know, now for clarification, in case that went over anyone's head.
We have the same father.
Right.
However, our relationships are different. Mine, non-existent. Yours, older and existent. So I'm curious as to how you would describe that.
I mean, like, all right, well, growing up with dad, like, I think I had him in my life for, like, probably, like, 6 years or so, if that. Mm. As far as physically. Well, physically and in person, because, you know, when he was in jail, he was sending letters and stuff like that. So that's physical in a sense.
The birthday cards.
Right, making physical phone calls and things of that nature. But just like being out with him, when you look back on things, and you see why I said, like, you'll look at that moment and you look at the moment with Drew. And then when you go back to that moment, you'll actually be seeing it from an out-of-body experience, right? So when you look at it, you'll be like, holy crap, like, I'm also recognizing other things. Say this. A lot of my moments associated with dad when I was younger, like, I used to think, like, oh, yeah, I'm having fun with him going to McDonald's, doing this, doing that. And when I look back on it now, because those are happy times for me, when I look back on it, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, yo, he used to parade me around like a trophy. Mm. So for me, it was just like, I was like a car to him, another piece of jewelry. Like, that's how I internalized it. I was just like, well, goddamn, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, what connection do we really have? So even when he used to call me and things of that nature, and we would talk and we would discuss stuff, I would just tell him, like, all right, I'm not little. I would literally tell him, like, yo, dad, I'm not little. At all, like, especially later, as like most recent years, you know, like, because I want to say throughout my 20s, I wasn't really in contact with him, because, you know, your 20s are a wild time, kids. So it's just
absolutely.
Like, so throughout my 20s, you know, I wasn't really in contact with him, but like my later 20s, right before I was about to hit 30, to where I'm at now, like, when I'll talk to him about, your dad, you know, like, I'm a grown man, you're a whole grandfather, like, I one thing. That I held in the back of my head, and I don't think I've ever told anyone this. So you're getting an exclusive Funkmaster Flex night. So one thing that I held in was I low key competed with him to make sure that I at least was around in my son's life to the age that he was and past it. So
a goal.
Right, like,
I'm trying to get past 3 with Drew. That's it. Like once I get there, it's
right,
the next year.
Right. It's just like, I was just like, for me, it's just like, all right, once I got to that, what was it, 6, 7? Mm-hmm. Once I got to 6, 7, I was just like, all right, fuckboy curse is dead. All right, it's broken. Now it's just like, I'm getting.
That's how I felt at the wedding.
Right. It's like, now I'm getting, right. It's like, now I'm getting, like, you know, like, I understand it. Like, what you mean? Now it's like, I'm getting the molds, a whole new situation. So, like, that's what it became. Like, it was like a low-key competition. So when I would talk to him, like, yo, dad, you have a whole grandson. Like, stop talking to me like you're taking me to McDonald's, bro. Like, I'm not going to Dairy Queen. Like, you're not taking me to Disney World. You know what I'm saying? We're not going by one of your little friend's house. We're not doing, like, no. Just relax, bro. Just, like, cool it. And I think, just over the past 2 years in particular, our respect for each other as men came into play. And it made me like just gain some admiration for him. Because when you lose 17 years of your life, or like, no, 15 to 16 years of your life behind bars, psychologically, you don't know what that does to someone. So obviously, he comes out, he still thinks it's 1993. No, bro. Like, cars fly now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, so, I like, and one of the biggest issues, not issues, but one of the craziest things with me that I realize is I'm extremely understanding. So I'll look at logic and I'll look at these things and these things. Like, there's shit I'm mad about. Like, I was just like, yo, you were making all that coin and you love your kids so much, bro. You could have put money in a savings bond for each and every one of us.
I think
us.
About so that a lot.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I think about.
I talked to Randy about that a couple of times, too.
I'm like, if you ain't give us no time, if you ain't give everyone equal amount of time, at least give everyone equal amount of money. Or even give the people that didn't see you as much, give them more bread. But you, like, he killed me, like, when I was, like, 20, when I was, like, 19, he was asking me, like, oh, he need help with this and that and the third. I'm like, where am I getting this from? Did you leave me any coin? Like, is there a map buried somewhere within a place that I need to knock on with a secret code and then follow a certain star on a certain night in order to get the treasure that you left? Like, let me know. Can you talk to me in code? Like, do you have to do Morse code? What are you doing? Like, let me know how we have to do this. But
oh, my God.
That's just what it became. I'm just like, bro. So, like, that was my biggest thing. And then, obviously, as like I do stuff with my son now, and like there's moments where I'll have tearjerker moments where I watch him, like, you know, play football. Like, Nikki, she went outside the other day to watch him, like, play football with the kids across the street, and she's like texting me, she's like, yo, your son is a beast, like, he's wilding. And I'm just like, what? And I'm just like, I would come downstairs and look, but I know if I come downstairs he's gonna start fucking up. Like, I was like, I know it, because it's me. Like, he's like, okay, I'll make you proud, dad, but like, damn, I don't want you to see, because now I'm overthinking, like, if I drop this, if I drop that. So it's like, I think about that, I'm like, I didn't have no one teaching me to shoot, no one taught me to throw a ball, no one taught me to do half the things that I'm teaching my son. And that's what makes me feel super duper dope, too.
I like this. See, I learn something new about you every time we talk.
Yeah, I
can appreciate.
You know what's crazy? Like, I don't divulge much due to the fact of, like, you know, how I was raised, like, with my mom. It was more...
I know, we're Guyanese.
Right. It's like you just keep it in and just go about your daily business. Like, try to see the best out of things. And it wasn't until, like, recent years where, like, with Nikki and some of my friends, where I'll tell them certain stories and I'm laughing about it.
And they start looking at you away?
That's not okay.
Yeah, I had a night in college, and I haven't really talked to Randy about this because I'm kind of ashamed of it. I have no idea what happened. One of my friends and my ex, like, I was drinking real heavy one night, and I think I finished a whole bottle of a couple of shit. I think it was a Henny bottle, and I finished, like, some Cuervo. Like, I know, it was one of them nights. I was not in the best frame of mind. And my friend, he was at my wedding. He had, like, they carried me back to my room, and they said that I was just, like, crying, and I said some shit that made them extremely sad, and they just... They would not tell. They said we would never repeat it, but they never told me what it was. I asked them, like, a couple of times later. They said it was some shit about, like, just growing up or so, like, and I don't have the complete story, but I always wonder, like, damn,
why they withholding information?
What dark fucking secret? Because there are so many. But, like, yeah, people have definitely given me the side eye when I told the story. Like, yeah, that's not normal. But I was like, but what you mean?
Here I am growing up like, oh, that's the makings of me, bro. Like, that's who, like, that didn't happen to you? Oh, well, aren't you fortunate?
We talk a lot on the podcast about how, like, about what our trauma defines when it comes to, like, our life and how that guides every decision that we make. And a lot of the things that you just brought up, you know, kind of echo my feelings about where I come from and what I do as far as raising my child or being a man or growing or trying to, like, just be better. I didn't know that you also shared that same energy. Like, it's a competition. Like, I remember when I was younger, I used to say stupid shit. Like, yeah, I'm gonna have more kids than him, but I'm gonna have it with one woman.
Shit.
But
it's crazy because like PJ competes with me, mm-hmm. and it's always interesting to me to see it. I'm just like, bro, I'm teaching you something. Like, how you? I know it. Why would you be competing with me when I know it already? But you don't know it yet, and I'm trying to teach you. And he's like, bro, like, I don't care. I'm gonna learn it, and then I'm gonna outdo you. I'm not trying to hear nothing. And, like, he'll literally get upset with me, and I'll laugh, and I'm just like, holy crap. And when I look back, you always are gonna long for that acceptance from your father in some way, shape, or form. So you compete, like, subconsciously, because you wanted some kind of acceptance. So for me, it's just like, It's like, me, I want him to look at me like, yo, I ain't gonna lie to you, like, I know I just, like, knew men were able to make kids and that was it, but, like, you really define what it is to be a man and a father. Like, I feel like he needs to talk to all of his boy children, because I'm not gonna lie to you, all of my brothers, I would say all of mine, you know, about to be selfish, all of our brothers, like, I am so proud of each and every one of you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking how we turned out, if you really think about it.
Of course, each of us as individuals. Right, right. And even though, like, we all walk, you know, different forms of lives, like, one thing that's it's for certain, like, we walk the path as a man and a father very proudly. You know, and that is something that I hope that he looks back on. And he's just like, you know, I'm proud that I can call these men my sons. And I feel like, obviously, like, with you, I don't know the relationship he has with Tevin like that. But I do feel like, even with Philip, he does need to reach out to you guys and just clear whatever air. Like, I don't know. Like, I always felt that was very important, because the biggest thing to me was always looking at, there's two sides to a coin. And then as a man, when you get older, you start to look at the mind of a woman and the mind of a mother. And then you also start to look at your mom and you'd be like, Ma, all right, I know you told me some stories.
Me and Randy had them conversations too.
Huh?
Me and Randy had those conversations. Certain stuff started clicking about our mothers and who they were as women dealing with this type of man. Not like when you remove father and mother from it, you just start looking
and
at it like
man
people.
And woman,
it's
yeah.
different.
And then you say to yourself, like, oh, okay, I ain't gonna hold you. Well, if I was him, I probably would have done XYZ, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So for me, that's what, I guess me, like, you know, just me getting older and becoming a man, like, that's what put things into perspective for me, which is why I'm not that hard on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I trust me, I get it.
See, and that's why you're bigger than me. Like, you're much more mature when it comes to that space. Like,
it took a while. Like, there's times that I wanted to, like, you know, get it shaken with him, because I'm just like, yo, like, I'll say to myself, if you was here, this wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen. Like, growing up, 1 through 6, or like 1 through 7, like, those were some of the happiest times. It was times where I'm very big on, if you say, okay, well, Prince, if you do this, you'll get this. And it was always met with him. Always. Like, because, like, it was just always met. No matter how, like, it was always met. It was just like, all right, you on the honor roll? Like, well, shit, you know what you got to do here. Boom, 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 boom. You want an SE? You want a Super Nintendo? There you go. Boom, boom, boom. It was always met. And it just made me continue to strive to be the best me that I can be. But for me, what killed, like, the whole thing for me was looking at it from the perspective of, damn, like, you were rattling so many cages that obviously you trying to carry all of these cages, because it's not like you putting them in position to carry themselves. Like, you're carrying all of these cages. And then the moment you get, like, fucked, like, all these cages are dropped. And the domino effect is so costly. But you can't see it, obviously, because in that moment, it's money, cash, hoes, money, cash, hoes. Fast money, fast women, like, just fat, just everything fast. The nigga thought he was Vin Diesel. I mean, he bald now, so he definitely probably think he a Guyanese dark-skinned Vin Diesel. You know what I'm saying? So, it's one of those
the stories that I've heard are wild. I've heard some crazy shit. I wish that I could, like, sit with him and, like, listen to, like, stories, but, like, not in, like, a proud way, because I know that there's a lot that we had in common, even though, like, I don't have any memories after 3. I remember him leaving when I was 3. Like, that was the last of me seeing him. But from what I've been told, we have so much in common that it's scary. So I'm just curious as to, like, what wild shit he was doing. Just thing, so that I don't feel like insane. Though I probably, like, still was.
Phil broke down, like, one Thanksgiving because, like, everybody kept badgering him, like, yo, you're moving just like your father, and da da da. And Phil didn't know. Phil don't know dad like that. You know what I'm saying? Phil was, like, 2. I think.
For anybody listening, my brother Phil is younger than me. Two years, three years?
Yeah, so, like, Phil didn't get to feeling no dad. So, like, it broke him because he was just like, yo. So, was my dad just ain't shit? Because y'all pointing out all the toxic shit I'm doing. And so, that's all he was, you know what I'm saying? And it broke him. Because you really got to understand, you don't have a connection to a person that people are talking about. Like, all you have is their jaded perceptions and realities of that man based on their own bias. So, like, our aunts are going to look at him a certain way. Our uncles, our cousins, people that knew him before us, they're going to look at him a certain way. and the stories written in here is going to be monumental. But then when you turn back the tans of time and you start getting details, it's just like, oh, y'all made it seem like this nigga was just out here in these streets wilding. Okay, it's cause and effect. Mm-hmm. You wasn't a saint either. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it comes from for me as a man. So as a man, there's things that I'll frown upon about your dad, but like, what about that? And da 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 da. Like, I've spoken to him about that. And he'll say, you know, son, like, he'll break it down and we'll talk. And I understand that because, I mean, have we not made costly decisions as young men growing up? Trying our hardest to run away from our father's shadow or whatever the case may be, not realizing that maybe we needed to embrace all of the things that he was as a man. So when we turn around, we have a fucking blueprint of what possibly not to do or what to take into our foundation of who we are as men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to be okay with that. Like, you have to be okay. Like, you have to. There's no way in hell. If me, you, Phil, Tevin, what other brothers in my family?
Mad Brothers. It's just...
I'm saying, I want to say the guys. Like, let's say
the,
all of
the
us
key
went
five.
Out. Like, I'm mm-hmm. saying, like, so let's say all of us went out to a bar. Everyone would be like, yo, no, you guys are really brothers. Mm-hmm. So there's it's an obvious trait that is very strong genetically that is embedded through that, man, that is embedded in all of us. So you face it, you come to terms with it. You may not have to like a bunch of things, but that's what makes it easier. Because when you run from it, then you start beating yourself up. You got to find balance somehow. And for me, like, that's what I just try to make sure I do. Like, I look back at it and I realize there was no, I'm pretty sure you could attest to this, there was never no full-blown conversation or communication. It was either arguments or laughs.
Yeah. I have never been able to put it quite that way before. I don't think I've ever worded it like that before. That's exactly what it was. It was one or the other.
I'm intelligent sometimes. It was arguments and laughs and gifts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all it was. And when it was quiet times, like, you probably don't remember them. It was arguments, like laughs, gifts, and what, family parties.
And so some of the things that come up in conversation when I'm talking with Randy or when I'm expressing, like, what's very difficult for me is I can't function in silence. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not good with quiet times. And I think, I again, not thinking about what you just brought up, because that's valid. Like, when things are still, I'm not good. I'm not sure why. I've never been sure as to why, but I can't do still, and I hate quiet. Well, like, literally and figuratively.
Because, you know what they say, like, when it's quiet times, that's when the soul does the most searching. And if there's things that you mm-hmm. don't want to face within yourself, you want to continue to block out that noise. Like, I kid you not, like, there was this one time recently, like, I smoked before I went to sleep. And, yes, I'm the typical rapper. I smoked before I went to sleep. And I was just, like, breathing, you know, very slowly and just thinking. Just thinking about, like, life, you know, the galaxy, what's beyond the stars, you know.
Not the typical, galaxy, my nigga.
Right. Typical Virgo shit. Typical overthinker shit. And I didn't realize that I was breathing and I was low-key meditating on the thoughts. And I actually had, like, a whole panic attack. Because there's things that I'm afraid to look into. And when you actually start vibrating and thinking about them and coming to terms with them, it puts you in a better place if you're willing to come to terms with those things. Like, that's why there's, like if you're into chakras and things of that nature, that's why, like, a lot of men, their stomach are always so bulgy, because it's so much they keep pent up there. So much it messes up your digestive function and everything. So you always have to make sure you keep that clear, and you got to keep that moving. You keep that moving by making sure you keep shit off your chest, because that affects everything.
Yeah. A little, some more behind the scenes things. We talked the other day, and it was just, I was just expressing to you that I'm just stressed. And it's just one of the moments where I'm feeling like the weight of the world, like, on me. Worrying about my family, worrying about my finances, worrying about our health. If we gonna make it through this year, we are legitimately talking about and trying to figure out how we can move out the country, what that might look like for us, what type of work we'd be into, like, how does that affect our daughter? How would that leave our families? Like, just a lot of shit on my mind. And I believe I've experienced the same thing you just described, where once I sat with it for a minute, like you said, I guess the catalyst was smoking. I don't know what it was with me. I'm pretty sure I probably was drinking and I had
some
a cigar.
Crown.
Yeah.
Crown.
It does that. And I think I definitely experienced the same shit. And, I don't know. I know that I need to spend a little bit more time in silence, like really focusing, meditating, thinking about shit.
You see that little look off that you did for like 5 seconds and paused? I know that face all too well. A, because I make it a lot. And even when you did it, it looked like me. Even when you smile, it looks like me. And I'm just like, I know.
Because we're twins. I just have more hair.
That's a fact. It's just inverted. It's just one of those things where it's so much on your mind. Like when you said to me the other day, you were just like, yo, I'm just like so turned off by the world. And I'm just like, I knew exactly what you meant. I knew like that energy. Like I used to do this this little live segment with my homegirl called Blunt Talk on IG. And I stopped doing it. We stopped doing it like after like 4 or 5 episodes because my DMs were getting like flooded with like people. The whole premise of Blunt Talk is basically an open forum for opinions where everyone can be opinionated. There was like you can obviously discuss it, but openly it's just like we all respecting everyone's views. No one's right, no one's wrong. You can learn something. You know what I'm saying? Like go into this with a I'm also giving and I want to receive. That was just the type of things that we were on where it was just reciprocation of energy. That was a conversation that we were trying to have. And people were just in my DM being extremely negative and very like argumentative and combative. And I'm just like, look, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm not fighting that. But I just don't agree with it. And I'm entitled to not agree with it. And for me, it was just like, yo, I understood what you meant by like, I'm just sick of the world. Because I was telling Nikki this the other day. I'm like, yo, I feel like the human race is doomed. Just work on your spirit. Just work on your spirit and just try to like meditate and be the best you to the highest high that you can be. Because I feel like we're fucked. Like, I'm talking about from every...
It's not funny, like, but I get it.
Yeah, like from every fiscal scale, like if I really started breaking down the list of things, like people are going to feel some way about it from like a morality standpoint. But then in the same token, if you decide to look at it logically, you'll be like, oh, now he has spit some facts. I mean, I'd agree with you, but he's spit some facts. And I don't feel like tackling it right now because I don't want to mess up the fan base that you
have. That's not the vibe of it.
No, because
we're not going to get into your conspiracy mind.
Like I said, the world is just, yo, especially the things that are going on lately in particular.
I'm aware. And with this new announcement of the vice president, I'm not going to get into that either. I'm really glad that a black woman is going to be vice president, but we won't dive deep into that.
I won't. Like, listen, I was talking about these things. I said, for people that play chess, you should be looking at America as a chess game. And you should be laughing your ass off at this point. Because whoever's playing for the people sucks. Like the government,
whoever got the black pieces fucked up.
Yeah, like the government pieces are kicking the people's ass.
Here's why that's funny. Literally, right before we got on this call, before Randy took a nap, I'm like, babe, we need to go play chess right now. Me and you, I need to think. Like, because sometimes I just pull out my board and just start playing against myself, just to think. I've always used chess as an outlet for that.
I play via iMessage, so that can happen. You just have to get an iMessage. I don't know. But I actually do it.
Like, I got to get an iPhone, but I'm too cheap to switch.
No, don't worry. I have an iPhone 6 that's broken. It's funny. It's working, though. It does what it needs to do. And I enjoy actually sitting down and physically playing chess. There's just something about that in itself.
Always here. Yeah. Always.
See?
All right. So I will download an app. We'll talk. All right. So we're not going to extend this too much further because we actually are at our last question. Man, this has been great, bro. I really appreciate this.
Of course.
Just let me know. Give me one thing that you hope to pass down to your kids. For example, assets, talents, wisdom. Just one thing that comes to mind that you absolutely want to pass down to them.
Well, assets, just definitely wealth wise. I'm just trying to make sure he is good from a credit perspective. And it just has the opportunity to take chances and make mistakes. So just, I've been, you know, putting money to the side. Nikki's been putting money to the side. And we just want to make sure we keep doing that to build that aspect, from asset-wise. Because sometimes you have to be okay with understanding that if breaking a generational curse starts with you, it doesn't mean it continues nor finishes with you. Like, you may die before you see certain things really take fruition, and you have to be okay with that. So if you're, like, not selfish enough to be like, nah, I want to see it happen, then just relax, bro. Just, like, you know, so that's asset-wise. I'm okay with that. Like, once he's good, I just don't want him to, like, experience the same pains and you know, emotions that I felt, like, 18, 19, 20. like having to make rash decisions. Like, I want him to feel comfortable going out into the world. I want him to feel like he's like, you know, I need him to be okay. Like, that's my legacy. I don't need my legacy being fucked up. I need him to be okay. So you said assets.
No, I'm saying like one thing of just, I'm just using those as an example. So is that's the thing that sticks out to you? Is just, you just want to make sure that he's straight.
Also, like, just definitely following his own intuition. Like, I've been, you know, very spiritual and spirituality, and I expressed to him intuition is extremely important. You trust it, mm-hmm. it'll protect you, it'll guide you. I've walked through the streets of Brooklyn wee hours of the night in the early 2000s, late 90s, and mm-hmm. I thank God nothing has ever happened to me. Like, walking 100%. Home,
I talked to Randy about that. She doesn't really get it sometimes when I feel like we start having those conversations about, like, whenever I'm out, I always feel good.
Yeah.
Just because of things that I've, like, gone through, and also just because of how I feel. Like, we have walked through streets that you're not supposed to walk through and been perfectly fine multiple times when we probably shouldn't have, like, done that.
I'm big on I don't put out that energy, so why should it be brought to me?
I do also understand, though, that, like, energy isn't enough to protect you. You know, like that's not always the case, but it's just...
You can't be stupid. You know, everything works in coercion with one another. It's just, like, mind, body, and spirit. So I just always just making sure I just start on my, yo, listen, follow your instincts, follow your guts, mm-hmm. trust yourself. There'll be times like you may think something is right and I think it's wrong, and you really and truly feel it's right and it turns out to be right. Go with it. I apologize. I tell them I'm never too big to apologize. Like, I haven't heard an apology used from my mother until now. You know what I'm saying?
You heard an apology? Oh man, we got to talk about that. That'll be another hour.
Yeah,
I have not got. I don't know that experience, but no, that sounds cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, but what's crazy is in the midst of like me getting everything out, like she's trying to console me, and I dad was like, "Don't touch me." Like, it was just so crazy, like, because it was just everything was just coming out, like everything. So, but yeah, so for me, I just want him to be very open with us, verbal. He communicates. He's a Gemini, so he's very. He's like seven kids in one, but that's like just the biggest thing. I want him to just trust himself and just be great. I don't know. Mm. I don't always want. I know he loves when I give him my approval, but I also want him to learn, like, you got to do stuff for yourself, kid. Like, because you're happy for it. Like, whatever you feel happy doing, do it. And I will support you the best way I can.
Man, thank you so much for this, bro. This was good.
And we did this without drinking alcohol. That's fire.
Well. Yeah, I sobered up actually in the middle of this conversation. So yeah, I really appreciate you doing this for me, man. Thank you. You have any last words for the people before you go? Any shout outs you feel like getting off your spirit?
I'm about to sweep the Rockets right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm the Phoenix Suns in my career. It's funny because in the bubble, the Phoenix Suns is actually looking like kind of spicy.
But I think they're 6-0 right now.
I just really and truly want to shout out the Black families. Married, together, separated, and still co-parenting. Just keep the Black family unit strong as possible. Leave your egos at the door when it comes to raising Black, because it's bad enough that they put us against each other every day. We need not be butting heads with one another. So just continue to love Black, stay Black, be strong Black, and be patient with one another. Patience is a very, it's like it's lost art nowadays, and I think patience is extremely important, and comprehension, before I forget that. And that's all I got to say, my brother. I love you. You're doing an amazing job.
I love you. Thank you so much for this. I appreciate it. All right. Hopefully y'all enjoyed the main topic segment of this episode. It really was a pleasure having my brother come and talk. Hopefully that gave y'all a little bit more insight into me and him at the same time. I really genuinely love my brother, and this was fun. My head nod segment for this episode is actually going to be a little shorter this time. And I really only have one head nod that I want to give out today. So this one is a musical one. It's going out to one of my favorite artists. I'm not sure if he will ever hear this, but, you know, I hope that it does reach him one day. This goes to Big Crit. Big Crit is a musical artist from Mississippi. He's a rapper. He is a singer. I don't actually know how to qualify it at this point, so I'm just going to stick with artists. Big Crit is, how do I put this? Big Crit is me if I was just like this country ass nigga. Like, Big Crit is the perfect representation of my southern half. I love his music. I've always appreciated all the work that he's put into it. He recently shared that it was the, I think, 10th anniversary of one of his first mixtapes. One of the mixtapes that absolutely blew speakers in my Maxima in high school. One of the mixtapes that I still play to this day that I even play for Drew. So I absolutely love his music. And if y'all get a chance, check it out. He will most likely be on one of my mixtapes coming out soon. So yeah, shout out to Big Crit. All right, I will leave you with this. Now more than ever, it's important to feed into the relationships that feed us. Just because we have to keep our distance because of quarantine does not mean that we have to isolate ourselves from our friends and loved ones. So reach out to some of your long distance peoples today and just let them know you love them. Thank you again to my big brother for jumping on this with me. I love you, bro. This was good. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is on Domino Sounds Network. Submit questions or feedback from this episode at blackmillmare@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 770-750-4098. That could be featured on a future episode. Let me know what you thought about this one. And please be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. Follow us on social media platforms on Instagram, I am Mikey_XXI. Randy is R-A-N-D, 4 I's, 3 E's. And on Twitter, we are @_TheChapman. To hear more music like the song that played at the top and bottom of this pod, follow my big brother at KingPHO3. As always, y'all, be blessed, don't settle, and fight clean. Peace.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Meredith Masony.
And I'm Tiffany Jenkins. We're the hosts of Take It or Leave It, a podcast where we discuss all things marriage, motherhood, and everything in between. Join us every week where we sit down and talk about parenting, even though we don't really know what we're talking about. We have guests, we take your calls, and we get weird.
Tiffany and I are just like you. We are two struggling moms who have no idea what we're doing. Join us on Take It or Leave It, an advice-ish podcast for parents.
Acast recommends.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.